South Korea is opening its borders to more immigrants than ever before. That's because the number of working-age people is expected to drop dramatically by the year 2040. NPR's Elise Hu reports from one village that's been proactive about welcoming foreigners into its homogeneous society.
After class, it's chaos in the halls of Ansan West Elementary School. A handful of kids eventually find their way into an after-school music class. We've only just started teaching them, the instructor, Kim Yong-suk, says. On the back wall is a bulletin board with flags and quick facts about various nations, China, Vietnam, Sri Lanka, and several more. Are these the countries that the kids come from?
Yeah.
Kim is also the multicultural coordinator at the school, an increasingly vital role here. The elementary school is in the heart of Wonguk, a village in which two-thirds of its residents are non-Korean. Factory work with lower wages fueled an influx of migrant labor. The non-ethnic Korean population here has jumped fourfold from 2002 to 2010. For educators, it means teaching a much more diverse student body than they're used to. The kids are mostly from China, but also
Philippines,
the Philippines,
Vietnam,
Uzbekistan,
Kyrgyzstan.
Kyrgyzstan.
학생이 있는 곳에는 같이 부딪히면서
places with multicultural kids, people can interact with each other and, you know, get into conflicts and break the prejudices.
Wonguk is small. Its population about 17,000, but it's offering the rest of the country a lesson in adapting to immigrant communities.
There is real immigration going on in South Korea that is supported, facilitated, advocated by the South Korean government.
That's Catherine Moon, the SK Korea Chair at the Brookings Institution. Her research focuses on changing Korean demographics. Immigration is a pretty new thing here. Only 3% of Korean residents are not ethnically Korean. Bars and restaurants in Seoul can ban non-Koreans from entry, and they do.
It has been a homogeneous society linguistically, historically, culturally, for so long. It has prided itself on the purity of the bloodline, the so-called bloodline.
But because the birth rate has fallen to such low levels, policies are changing. Moon says changing attitudes will take a little longer.
Right now, it's about fitting into the Korean context, learning Korean language, not teaching your kids Vietnamese or Tagalog or some other foreign language. True multiculturalism, of course, would involve mixing and blending and fusing of these different languages, cultures, customs. And we don't see as much of that, except in places like Wonguk Village.
We're on Multicultural Street in Wonguk Village, where people from all sorts of different backgrounds mix. In front of the banks, you can see four or five different languages with instructions about remittances. Food stalls that sell a lot of Chinese food. There are Chinese karaoke joints. You can hear Vietnamese as you walk up and down the street. A lot of Mandarin Chinese. This is very unusual for Korea. Right there on the street, we found Nigerian Eugene Okoye. He moved to Korea 4 years ago as part of his clothing export business. He says in Korea, communication has been the toughest part.
What the language barrier is, at times if you tell someone, hi, how are you? Maybe he doesn't know how to reply in English. He or she will shy away.
But the jobs keep people coming.
There's a lot of factories, and you know, in every place where there's electricity, there's work opportunity.
As more people like Okoye seek the opportunities here, their kids fill the classrooms of teachers like Kim. She says the children have taught her about dropping prejudices.
Multicultural people are people that Koreans have to work together with to make Korea into a better country. So yes, Wonguk Village is what Korea will look like in the future.
The kids offer a key lesson. They relate to one another as peers and not different peoples. Elise Hu, NPR News, Wonguk Village, South Korea.